Welcome to Powering Product Innovation, a podcast from Cognizant's Technology Business Unit, where we partner with industry experts to enable continued innovation in the technology industry.
Welcome to another edition of Powering Product Innovation from Cognizant. I'm your host, Deborah Eastman. In today's episode, I'm honored to be joined by Nemish Srivastava from Qualcomm. Nemish is the Senior Director of Product Management. He leads the development of a connected services platform for automotive. In this role, he is responsible for driving a product roadmap across automotive domains and fostering industry partnerships to enable innovation and monetizable connected services for automakers and their ecosystem. Wow, that's a whole lot of things that you got going on there. So tell us a little bit more about your role at Qualcomm.
Sure, Deb. Very nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me. So just as a background, Qualcomm is my first corporate job. I've been a serial entrepreneur throughout my career lifetime at several companies which were acquired. And the last company, when it was acquired, I worked as a CTO for a while, but then wanted to do something different. And one of my very good friends introduced me to Nakul, who's my boss. And I totally bought into the vision that he had for automotive sector in general and industry, where connected services were the key part of future. And we have already seen that in past 4 years since I've been in Qualcomm. That has only accelerated, especially with AI. So my job at Qualcomm is really about connected services and how Qualcomm can help automakers and ecosystem partners build new connected services for consumer, for enterprise, and create new revenue streams for themselves.
Great. Well, it's an exciting time to be in that area of the marketplace and technology. But when you think of Qualcomm, you really think of semiconductors, hardware. So how did Qualcomm get into software development?
So Qualcomm is actually been in software development forever, because with the chipset, with hardware, there are other elements that come together. The BSP, the different software operating systems. We work closely with Googles of the world for Android. So we have to actually bring a lot of things together on our hardware, which are software related. And many software layers have been created by us. Many even IPs are software based in Qualcomm offering. So Qualcomm has been at it for some time. And in fact, it goes beyond just the software on hardware. Qualcomm in past has actually created full service platforms, marketplaces. In fact, one of the first operating system that came out on mobile phones was Qualcomm's, called Brew, which had millions of devices, in fact, tens or hundreds of millions of devices. So Qualcomm has this pedigree already, but what you're seeing now in Qualcomm offering is not just software for the customer, but also software products and platforms, especially in the area of AI and, of course, automotive, from ADAS to other things. So that's what you're seeing now. And Qualcomm has already become leader in many of these areas through these software value propositions.
Okay, interesting. So I know one of the core products that you are working on today is a Snapdragon car-to-cloud offering. So tell us a little bit more about that and what the key technologies are that make up that offering.
Our CEO Cristiano's vision is connected intelligent edge and connected services. That's the sort of next generation of all devices. With digital transformation happening across industries, especially in automotive, this is a key area that's going to continue to grow. And this is all related to not just EV vehicles, but what consumers expect from their vehicles today, right? It's not just about driving a car from one place to the other. It's actually your infotainment for that period of time. It may have some autonomous functions where you can relax a little bit and do something more. And of course, for passengers, it's even more. So what Car-to-Cloud is really is a platform, a connected services platform that allows any OEM, their developer partner, and ecosystem to build connected services in vehicle and also on cloud. So this means new experiences that can be built on the vehicle, new experiences which can be built out of vehicle, a vehicle to maybe other devices, such as, maybe a charging station. So all these different types of services can be enabled by the platform that we have built, which is Car-to-Cloud. The Car-to-Cloud connected services platform has been built over the last few years, and it's been in conjunction with a great partnership with Cognizant, your company, And we selected Cognizant in the very beginning because of the experience that the team already had in building similar platforms. So it's been a journey for us for the last 2 years, but we launched the platform last year and very excited about all the things which are coming up in deployment of this platform and new areas that we are covering. This is an ongoing evolution of what a person can do in the car, outside the car, whether it's a consumer, enterprise, shared mobility, and many other areas.
Yeah, an exciting area because, as you said, we've become accustomed to so much more than just driving the car anymore. And so there's a lot of changes that are happening every day and what the consumers expect. How do you keep up with those changes?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, it's not easy because, especially in automotive, because automakers in previous life, I'll call it previous life, have been used to basically bringing the car and their brand to the customer and really not having much more interaction with customer beyond that or beyond the dealership interaction. But that's changed. Like I said, consumer expectation has changed. The vehicle itself has changed. There's not so much, especially in EV vehicles, you don't need to go and do your oil change so often and things like that. So there's not as much interaction that's built into this between automakers and consumers. But because of other devices, there is, of course, already information about what consumers typically want. And one of the areas that we feel strongly consumer wants is personalization. Car is a personal device. Even for fleet managers and people who are driving trucks, you spend quite a bit of time in the vehicle. So personalization is one key area that's been very interesting. And a lot of things are happening in those areas. So one is, of course, just knowing what consumer expect out of a personal device. Then, of course, there are new technologies which are coming, AI, Gen AI. So you have to think about how that works into the experiences and engagements that a consumer may want. So it is really looking at consumer behavior, looking at data that's coming out of vehicle on your own vehicles, which is driving a lot of understanding of the customer. A lot of new innovations happening in the industry that need to be incorporated. All these type of things have to be looked at to really continue to evolve your platform, your offering to the consumer, and of course, your technology.
Yeah, it's interesting. In order to deliver that personalized experience, you really need to collect a lot of data about individuals. And there's so much scrutiny anymore on data privacy. So how do you keep up with all of the ever-changing regulatory environment?
Yeah, and there are, of course, leading continents, I would say EU, for example, which are leading these type of laws and practices. I think there are a few important things to remember. If the platform or product or whatever is running in the vehicle, there has been a good data abstraction, good data protection, both from privacy and security point of view, both on the device, on the vehicle, as well as cloud, this becomes sort of basic fundamental blocks that have to be in place. And if they are flexible and scalable, then it's very easy for accommodating new regulations as you go from region to region. The other thing that I think that's important is the personalization also brings, how do you really know who's in the car? You need to kind of attach that data with the vehicle. For example, if there's a family of people driving the vehicle, unless you know who's in the car driving, who's the passenger, you would not know the behavior in the car. You won't even know that this is the data that belongs to this person. This becomes even bigger challenge in shared mobility or rentals. So that's the other area that's very important. And we see that things like biometrics-based authentication are coming into the market more and more. So the recent launches by Mercedes and others on payment require fingerprint authentication, for example. So I think this is the area that will also marry into as the data regulations, data privacy regulations become stronger, these areas also have to be looked at. And this is where we think that Qualcomm can play a very important role because for privacy and security, you need strong security within the device where data is being stored. You need some kind of glue that can hold all these things together in the car. And we are working in these areas that I can talk a little bit more about. And of course, we've been innovating not just on the technology side, but also on the security side. We've been very strong where we have secure storage and other things on devices that make it easier to be able to adhere to these new data privacy and security laws.
Well, that will be an ever-changing world, I'm sure. And you raised the issue of security, and I think many of us experienced the CrowdStrike challenge of last week. So how are you managing the threats of cybersecurity and the vulnerabilities that come with this kind of technology?
Yeah, and I was stuck in Denver because I couldn't get my next plane to San Diego, although it worked out. But yeah, I think this is a very important area, of course. And it has to be a collaborative area between the automakers, the ecosystem partners, the standards that are coming up. For example, we're working with FIDO organization for things like authentication within the car with biometrics. And how do you secure that? There's a lot of work going on in Qualcomm in that. I think what's important is device-based security. The data going from the vehicle to the cloud has to be secured. A lot of work there as well. And then within the cloud also, because there's a lot of data being stored there. Now, the CrowdStrike was a little bit different because this was a software update that happened on a device. So this is another area that we have solutions in Qualcomm Automotive and Connected Services Platform, Car2Cloud, where how do you not only do secure updates to the device, but are able to quickly roll back if there's an issue in the software and do it at mass global level. I think these are all things that customer, especially automaker customers who have many vehicles going to many different regions typically. So they have to really think about how do you do this in a very fast way where you can revert back to an older version. So these are the things that one has to keep in mind, and this areas that we're bringing solutions in Car2Cloud as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've talked about the ecosystem and things like biometrics, which, by the way, I can't wait till I can put my fingerprint on my car and have it open and start for me. So let's keep that innovation going. But when you think about that, you're really having to communicate with a lot of different devices inside the vehicle and outside the vehicle. How do you keep up with all of the different changes that are happening on all of these dependencies that you have?
I think it's a complex area, but there are some things to think about. So for example, when we talk about putting your electric vehicle into the charging station and putting charging cable and doing that transaction, there is a very specific standard, ISO standard that is used for communication. Similarly, there are communication protocols which are within the vehicle and then communication protocols from vehicle to the cloud. So there's, like you rightly said, there are different things which are happening. How do you keep up with it? I think the key, at least from our point of view, is the abstraction layer that could be built for any device to any device communication is very important. So for example, we have built what we call a service bus, which is any to any, basically service communicating. It could be a service which is communicating from your vehicle to your charging station. It could be some service communicating to the cloud. So for example, I'll give you a totally different example. Suppose you were going to, let's say, a Padres game here in San Diego, and you had the ticket for Padres. And basically, the car was being, of course, used to go to the stadium, and there's a map in the car. So when you want to navigate through your map would know your destination, which is a stadium. But this knowledge that you're going to a stadium could be very important to a service that's running ticketing for that game or parking for that game. So there has to be a seamless way of communicating from your vehicle to a cloud service without the cloud service knowing anything else about anything in the car and with security and privacy. So how do you do that? So we have kind of built this service bus that allows services to publish their data, which goes from vehicle to, let's say, a parking solution, where a parking solution can say, oh, by the way, I see you have a ticket for the game today, but you don't have a parking spot. So let me offer you a parking spot. And that communication can come back to the vehicle seamlessly and securely. So this is the type of infrastructure that needs to be built to be able to securely communicate from device to device and also grow the use cases and different types of experiences for the user.
So that's really interesting, right? The complexity of the ecosystem, the service bus as you describe it, you're really interacting with so many different devices and software applications and such to do that. I know companies like Apple and Microsoft have created these third-party marketplaces or developer communities. What is Qualcomm doing in that area?
Yeah, so as we all recognize that intelligent edge connected services are really important to all devices, not just automotive. Of course, this comes with, as you rightly said, the right sort of platform, right environment for developers to be able to do a lot of things on these connected devices, such as vehicles. And it is complex, more complex in vehicles because the architecture can differ from automaker to automaker. There are many different combination and permutation. And of course, safety is very big concern. So you have to kind of have areas where developers can certainly do certain innovation, but you have to be careful on things like safety island. So keeping all this in mind, actually Qualcomm has been putting out quite a few different tool chains. In fact, Qualcomm in general has a developer first program that we launched last year, where we are looking at things like for AI, something like AI Hub, where you can test out your models on Snapdragon hardware chipsets. We're also releasing common stacks, like common AI stack for all devices. So developers have an easier time developing solutions across devices that have Snapdragon or Qualcomm chipsets. So we are doing that. And of course, our connected services platform is API driven. So we have device APIs, we have cloud APIs from things like telemetry to more complex things. And we have even now started integrating into AI models and Gen AI so that developers can eventually develop their programs, their application, keeping Gen AI in mind as well. So these are the tool chains that we have been working through, and Qualcomm has been releasing these across different BUs, not just automotive.
Okay, interesting. So you're making it really easy for people to integrate while you maintain the safety and the security and the privacy elements of that experience.
That's exactly right, Deb. And I think one other thing to look at is that in vehicles, the architecture is also changing quite a bit. Software is the key, and now there is software-defined vehicles. These software-defined vehicles have new architecture, which means that, again, programmers, developers, ecosystem partners have to look at how to interact with this software-defined vehicle. And again, we are bringing those type of layers and APIs, like you rightly said, taking care of the underneath hard things that need to be done within the vehicle through our platform and making it easier through these APIs and data hubs and other type of interaction for developers.
So as a automotive or a vehicle manufacturer, because I know we'll also talk about two-wheelers and fleets and such, but as the manufacturer, what does it take to implement this, to integrate it within their products?
This is all software, right? What we have developed in connected services or Carded Cloud is mostly software. Of course, let's leave aside how the lifecycle of a chipset works in the vehicle. That's maybe for a separate discussion. But just on the software side, because we have done a lot of data abstraction and a lot of abstraction of different types of services, different type of needs that are there, we have also made layers which are easy to integrate by a tier one or an automaker on their hardware. The way today Carded Cloud works is that we can provide device software to a tier one or to automaker, and it's very easy to integrate and deploy, especially when it's Qualcomm chipsets, Snapdragon chipsets, because we have optimized for our chipsets. And then from that point on, it's all about APIs that are provided to automakers, to tier ones, to developers to build their own services. So it's very easy to deploy, and we also made this very modular and very flexible, which means that automakers don't have to take everything from our solution and Carded Cloud. They could take just one area. Let's say they want to just use our feature on demand functionality. They could do that. And also deploy on their own cloud. We don't have to host the solution in our cloud. So this flexibility and scalability brings a lot of cost savings for customers, much faster time to market for their solutions.
You know, it's interesting. You said something that kind of piqued my interest, that there isn't a dependency. Carded Cloud does not have a dependency on the Qualcomm Snapdragon chip. So it works across multiple different chip technologies.
It can work on any hardware, but it is certainly optimized and pre-integrated with our hardware, with our chipset. There's a lot of elements that we are bringing on a hardware, a lot of IP that is leveraged by our connected services that makes it, again, easier, but also provides the best solution for our customers. A good example I'll kind of quickly talk about, we talked about the whole area of security, especially when it comes to personalization. Part of our connected services, we also have this idea about an identity token representing each occupant in a vehicle. So that you could be represented in your vehicle by an anonymous token, which can then be used for payment. We have partners like JP Morgan and others which are working on payment solutions using this technology. This can also attach to a customer's own data on the cloud. We have CRM companies like Salesforce, which are integrating this solution together. So the idea is there's a lot of pre-integrated work that's being done with our partners, but also there's pre-integration within our chipset because, you know, you have to have secure storage, for example, to secure this particular token, which represents yourself. These are the type of things that we are bringing from our secure system, which uses hardware-based security.
So you're bringing that competitive advantage by having some of that core technology embedded within the chipset itself.
Exactly. And of course, our partners is a big story here. I mentioned two of those partners, and there are many more. For example, biometrics, we are working with companies like Deon. So all these are pre-integrated on our software, but they also sit on top of our chipset. So when we talk about biometrics, for example, again, the security behind biometrics is driven by our hardware and then integrated with our platform. And then, of course, third-party solutions, biometric solutions as well.
It's interesting. So over the lifetime of owning a vehicle, do you need to upgrade those chips?
Very good question. And this is something that a lot of people are looking at, which is replaceable hardware. What I would say is that that's something certainly coming in future, but even in present hardware chipsets that Qualcomm produces, the Snapdragon family of chipsets, there's a lot of flexibility built into the chipset. And we call it future-proofing the solution. Because today you might have certain needs based on, say, 3D games or other type of services that you're running in the vehicle, which requires certain compute, certain maybe NPUs or certain AI model capacity. But these might grow over a period of time, over the next 5 years, 10 years. So our chipsets have this flexibility built into it, which can upgrade the performance level through a secure mechanism that we bring in our connected services platform from cloud. So 3-4 years down the line, you want to increase the capacity, you could do it over the air and accommodate new services. This is not just true for hardware, even in software. Imagine that you want to provide safety-based features as an offer to a customer. Suppose you have Qualcomm's perception engine, the right platform running in your device, on your vehicle. And let's assume that you don't have any safety mechanism today. Over the year, you can basically upgrade a customer. Suppose I want to go to Vegas for the weekend, try my luck. But I also want to not try my luck on the road, want to have more safety. So I could potentially get an upgrade from the cloud for things like Highway Pilot, where I can be kept in my lane securely through this perception engine. So there are a lot of these type of features built into the Qualcomm platform that makes it future-proof for the customer.
So it's interesting you say that because I recently, I guess now it's been almost a couple of years ago, I bought a new car only because I wanted the new technology features that the latest vehicles have to offer. So does that mean that there'll be longer refresh cycles for the manufacturers?
Yes, it's already here. Because of EV vehicles' lesser need for going to the shop or getting serviced, etc., the lifetime of vehicles is already increasing. So the expectation is from technology companies like Qualcomm to support hardware, software for a longer period of time. But we're also building chipsets with larger capacity so that, like I said, we can future-proof the vehicle. So that you don't have to begin with that capacity right in the beginning, but increase that capacity over a period of time.
Very interesting. You've mentioned the magic word a couple of times. You can't have a conversation today without talking about AI. And I know I read on one of your recent blogs, you talked about bringing AI to the edge. So tell us a little bit more about that area.
Absolutely. And by the way, we also made an announcement a few months ago working with Cognizant on AI area in our automotive division as well. And there are a lot of other partners that we are working with on AI and specifically on Gen AI. So a few different parts answer to your question, Deb. One is that, of course, we've already shown in the market that our chipset, and not just in automotive, but across Qualcomm, are able to do more and more neural processing, larger LLMs. LLMs with billions of parameters can run on Qualcomm chipsets. So that gives the capacity for for any device to do more on the device itself, especially in Gen AI, which is sort of the new thing. We also believe, especially in automotive, the next generation of interaction, engagement, experience for users is on Gen AI. We believe that people will have a conversation with devices that you've started doing in your home would also come to the vehicle to make it easier for customer to do more things in the vehicle. People talk about finding a restaurant, to reserve the restaurant through just talking to the car. And we actually are showing that already in our demo platform. So with the capacity that we are bringing from the hardware and software that we are already developing, Gen AI is going to be one of the key things that Qualcomm is bringing in automotive. We showed this in CES last year. We're going to even show more things being done in this area this coming year. And we believe that we are really leading this because of our combination of our hardware, the capacity to do AI on the edge, be able to then use that AI on the edge for things like Gen AI, running not just LLM, but be able to actually do this whole end-to-end solution. This is something that you feel strongly that Qualcomm is able to bring in the automotive market.
Wow, it's going to be really interesting to see what use cases evolve out of that innovation.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. There are, of course, simple use cases, like I said, about how do you find a restaurant so you can order without having to do anything by just talking to the car and paying through a wallet, say, by JP Morgan and powered by our connected services platform. But we can do even more. We can actually ultimately also know through the knowledge of customer, be more proactive and be able to prompt customer from the vehicle through these language models to take action. One of the things that we were showing in last year's demo was that if something is going wrong with the car can prompt the customer and say that something is going wrong in the car. Here's sort of an explanation based on the LLM figuring out through scanning a manual what could be going wrong. And then engaging with the user to find the right service center nearby to be able to complete the reservation for servicing the car. And this could be, of course, integrated with Salesforce type of CRM, which gives you not just data about the vehicle and the user, but also interaction with the servicing center or the dealerships. So these are the type of solutions that will continue to grow in the vehicle from our perspective.
Well, we've talked a lot about the experience of auto drivers. We're all very familiar with that as we interact with our cars today, use the navigation system, in some cases, autonomous vehicles, et cetera. But there are, what I understand, 328 million bikes and motorbikes on the road today and growing quite rapidly. So tell us more about what you're doing in that area.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And especially in Asia, this is a very common vehicle, not just for consumer, even for fleet, delivery of food, et cetera, scooters, motorcycles. And there's been a big movement in Asia market, especially towards EV scooters, EV motorcycle, EV three-wheelers. And with this, again, consumer expectation is to be able to do more. Of course, the device itself is simpler in case of two-wheelers, because it's typically a cluster which shows you your speed, et cetera, and that's really the interaction. And you have to think about hands-off interaction. So there are innovations coming, like from the helmet, you could be able to kind of, even in your visor, see certain things. But I'll kind of come back to what we are doing in two-wheeler in a minute. Just carrying on this conversation about Gen AI, you can, of course, think about Gen AI being very powerful in a two-wheeler, three-wheeler vehicle, because you can now talk through your helmet to the vehicle and get feedback rather than having to do something visually or with your hand. So I think that's something that definitely will be coming in future. But the way we have built our car-to-cloud platform, and we call it the version for two-wheelers called bike-to-cloud, but it is the same platform. We want to be able to do similar type of things. For example, if your battery is low, to be able to provide that range to the next charging station, to be able to bring issues that are happening in your vehicle, in your two-wheeler, to the attention of the user. All these things that we are doing in four-wheelers, most of those things can be done in two-wheelers. So that's one part. So our platform is really scalable. And the way we have built the platform, it's scalable to a much simpler device with less capacity. So there'll be some features which may be missing, but the platform is the same. And that makes it easier for two-wheeler automakers to continue to grow the platform. Because as next generation two-wheelers and motorcycles and scooters come, they might use higher capacity chipset, more CPU. They want to do more with the services. So again, Qualcomm provides all that lineup for hardware and software for those different types of vehicles. And then what we are doing is also looking at certain use cases which are specific to two-wheelers and three-wheelers. This includes, of course, fleet vehicles also. This could be more safety, because safety in a two-wheeler is very different than a four-wheeler. So you can't really get all the different types of cameras, and you can't look at all those cameras in the scooter. So, you know, how do you kind of bring that those events to the attention of user? So that's something that is part of our platform. Same thing that we can also do with sensors, which could be part of a fleet delivery vehicle. So, you know, sensors in a box that may be carrying food, those sensors could also tie into some of the use cases for fleet management. So these are the type of use cases that we are looking at. And then things like e-call, emergency call. Suppose you have an accident, and accidents are very common in India and other places for two-wheelers. Can you do automatic call to a service that could be provided for emergency? So those are the types of things we are also integrating into our two-wheeler solution, which is specific to those markets.
So it's interesting. You kind of have a platform that it's almost a Venn diagram of what's going to be the same between cars and two-wheelers or scooters or three-wheelers. There'll be a lot of commonality, but then refined on the edges in terms of what you can do in a car that you can't do in other types of transportation.
Exactly. And I think that same applies for even big trucks, LCVs, light commercial vehicles versus passenger cars. The platform is the same, and very good analogy. The Venn diagram for a fleet van could be a little bit different than what passenger Venn diagram would be, but there would be a lot of commonalities, especially on the data layer, data abstraction. We have things like a rules engine that's built into our device platform that can do further data analysis within the vehicle itself. And like we talked about AI model on the edge, the different type of models might apply to a large truck than a passenger vehicle for certain functionalities.
Well, that's a great lead-in, because I was curious. I think we're all accustomed to the packages that show up on our doorstep. Order today, have it tomorrow, or maybe even today. So how is all this going to change the delivery to the home?
So I think there's, of course, this future that everyone imagines of autonomous vehicle delivering these packages. I think that's still some distance away. I think there are some good advancements that have been made. There are things like platooning, which is basically one driver driving the truck, and then many trucks following that, which are autonomous trucks. So that's platooning. So there are people who are experimenting with that. So I'll leave that sort of futuristic thing aside. But at a minimum, Qualcomm is bringing solution not just on fleet sort of driver side, but also we have solution which are cloud and device based, which are track and trace solutions from our IoT team. These can all be combined. So you can imagine a fleet solution which is tracking the vehicle, providing all the different events, especially driver behavior events or other events from the vehicle to the fleet manager, but also providing at the same time the package management, which is, like I mentioned before, data from the different sensors, which could be coming from the other part of the vehicle. It could be a refrigerator back of the truck that could be carrying some medicines, for example, for delivery. All that data can be collected and processed on the edge. AI models can be applied for that. And then many use cases can be driven through the same platform. So we believe that because we have very good positioning in automotive, also these IoT devices, this brings sort of a next level generation of solution for customers, especially on fleet.
Yeah, very interesting. So, you know, we've talked about the car experience, the two or three wheeler experience, the fleet experience, and there's a common platform that works across all of those. How will that platform enable you to actually look at other verticals outside of transportation?
Yeah, and I think I'll start with the transportation a little bit, because if you look at an example of charging station is a different device, right? It's not a vehicle. It's a stationary device. It's an IoT device. And it has certain capacity to do similar things that I'm talking about. With Qualcomm Snapdragon chipsets, it can do AI on the edge, data processing, et cetera. We are already working where we can provide the communication end-to-end solution between vehicle and this device especially personalization, things like personalized payments between the automatically being able to pay just by plugging in your charging cable on a station rather than having to download an app from different CPOs. So this is something that we're already doing and doing POCs with our partners. We are also looking at this platform as the basically similar type of functionality are possible and needed on IoT devices when it comes to industrial automation, when it comes to things like healthcare. So leaving transportation aside, you still need telemetry data from all these devices. You need to be able to interact with these devices, be able to send commands to these devices. There are, of course, different use cases for each one of these industrial automation, et cetera. But certainly the platform needs to have same layers, same abstraction that we've already built. So we believe that Qualcomm, again, because Qualcomm has the story of diversification from industrial IoT devices to telematics, strong presence, our mobile phone presence, and of course, our automotive presence. And of course, lately we have announced, we've seen GenAI-based laptops. So we have a lot of different devices which have similar type of needs. And we believe, especially with AI and GenAI coming into picture, that Qualcomm platform can play a very strong role across these different verticals.
Yeah, very interesting. It gives you a lot of room for growth outside of the core business today. So I know everybody's all hyped on NVIDIA's stock. Maybe they ought to take another look at Qualcomm.
I would second that.
I'm sure you would. Great. Well, thank you so much for this really interesting conversation. So many interesting areas we could continue to explore, but we're out of time now. Any final thoughts that you want to share with our audience before we adjourn?
Well, thanks, Deb, for having me. Very great questions, and we covered a lot. Really excited about the future that Qualcomm is bringing. Edge with intelligence, so an intelligent edge with connected services. We believe that we can bring, and I think this is to our peers in the industry, ecosystem partners, developers, we believe we are bringing the next generation of change in how consumer or enterprise user interacts with these different devices in different verticals. And Qualcomm, not just with their Snapdragon chipsets, but with all these layers on the edge and on the cloud, is bringing the next generation of innovation that can be brought by all these different partners and developers. That's what I'm really excited about. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this.
Great. I would assume that your move from entrepreneurship to corporate has been a good one, because it's really an innovative area to be working in today.
Absolutely. And I'm very lucky to be in the area of connected services, a new area which Qualcomm sees as the future. And this gives a little bit of what I've done previously in startups field while having, of course, the corporate back behind you. So it's a really good position for me and my team to work. And of course, it's been really exciting to work with the Cognizant team and the support the Cognizant team has given to us in building this platform of the future.
Great. Well, thank you again for your time today. And with that, we'll adjourn.
Thanks, Deb.
A big thank you to our guest, Nimish. It was great to get his perspective on so many important topics. We learned a lot about how connected services are going to change the landscape for transportation. And thank you all for joining us on this edition of Powering Product Innovation from Cognizant. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to rate us, leave us a review, and hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. I'm Deb Eastman, and thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by Amaze Media Labs.